Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Dan Abel.
I love church. Church is awesome. That's fair. And I was praying this whole week and just going, oh man, what am I doing? Because Pastor Paul made the super classic error of telling me last week that I was going to be preaching, which meant that I had to spend an entire week fretting about the fact that I was preaching, where normally you get like 24 hours and it's not so bad because you just go mental, go, God, please help. But having a whole week to ponder on it meant I was very grumpy and my wife was very displeased. But never mind. But I believe God's given me something, and I was working on it last night and this morning and felt it's right. And it was interesting because Brian got up and gave that prophetic word, obviously, during the worship. And that kind of linked really well into what I'm going to say. So that was encouraging. And the kind of heading that I got for today was, are we grown-ups? Which, it's kind of a silly one, but, and if you guys know me, obviously my life has been changing a lot recently over the last few years. I've got married, I've had a daughter, we've just bought a house. And for me, they're kind of very big steps in becoming a grown-up. I'm now a grown-up, I've decided. it's great. With an Xbox, yeah, but they. I'm a cool grown-up, obviously. I run a youth club, but I must be cool. That's my criteria, men. If any of you are wondering, are you grown-up? That's what I class myself, but we can discuss it. And I was wondering, but actually, are we grown-ups in our spirituality, not in physical? And do we get hepped up on every time we want to meet with God that we need all the bells and whistles and we need to feel a tingle down our spine, and are we having powerful encounters with God, and is that actually being a grown-up spiritually? I've been working on that and thinking, and it was making me think about how they're amazing. I'm not putting down any times when you get amazing encounters with God. I've had a few myself where God's done things for me and I'm just like, whoa. But actually, they're not for all the time. It's not every time we have a prayer meeting we just disappear and get lost in God. Actually, sometimes it's good for us just to be still in front of God, and actually we might not feel anything. And that's not bad. And that's not, it doesn't mean you fail, it doesn't mean nothing's happening, it's just God's doing something different with you. And I, obviously, Elizabeth is a major part of my life, and so all my allergies are kind of being drawn out of her because I see so much inside of her. But Elizabeth, she loves to give people hugs. She'll give virtually anyone a hug if she's known you for a little while, like Rob and Richard, and they'll all get hugs, and Alex, because she just loves playing with them, and Juliet, who's now living with us, she just runs down and gives her a massive hug. But only me and Jem, if we ask her, and it's very, very rarely, we say, can you take your dummy out and give me a kiss? She'll come up, she'll take her dummy out and give us a kiss on the cheek. And it's only me and Gemma that she does that for. And suddenly realize that's like God. He wants us to give him hugs all the time, but sometimes we just give him a hug. But every now and then he's like, actually, no, I'm going to take you even further, give you something completely unique, something really special, just like a kiss from Elizabeth every now and then. And you don't get them very often. I've been begging all week for one because I was getting really grumpy and she was not giving them. But last night she gave me one, which then suddenly went, ah, that's what God's like. It was a clarity moment, which was quite good. It feels out of this world. It's rare. It's not all the time. And that's what God's like. God is all the time. God is all infinite. But it's not going to completely wipe you on the floor and you'll be lost for hours every single time you want to meet with him. That's not how he works. Every time is unique. Every time is different. Other times he can feel really far away. And that's where the faith comes in. That's where our love for him comes in. That actually he's not abandoned us, and by faith we know he's there. Thank you. In Mark 11, 22 to 24, it says, Jesus answered, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone speaks to a mountain by saying, go throw yourself in the sea, the mountain will move for him so long as he does not doubt in his heart, but truly believes that what he says must happen. So I tell you, no matter what you ask in prayer, believe it is yours already and it will be yours. Amen. So the things that I got from that was no doubt in our hearts. We need to have no doubt in our hearts that what we're saying, what we're doing in God is correct and is going to happen. And we're 90% spirit anyway, so we know the probability is that it is going to be God anyway. And if we truly believe, then it will happen. So we're not comfortable, but we're expectant. We're not being laid back about it and saying, oh yeah, God will do that. But we're expectant that God will do it if we say it's going to happen. And I've got a funny story about this. It's about Brian. He's new to the church. He's a good friend of mine. And he's not in the room, so I can embarrass him with this story. But when we were moving house into my new house... Oh, he's there. No, he is in the room. Oh, I can embarrass him. I've even pointed him out. Oh, dear. He's going to beat me up later. But we were moving up my side of my house. And me and Brian, we just finished unloading one of the trailers. And we were standing outside. And he looks up and a spit of rain comes down. He goes, oh, it's going to rain. And I went, no, it's not. He's like... Well, yeah, it's raining. It's going to rain. I was like, no, it's not. By faith, I believe it's not going to rain. And he's kind of like, what? I was like, well, I'm going to use my authority in God and say, no, it's not going to rain until I finish moving. And he kind of looked at me a bit sceptical, but the rain did stop. And we finished moving, and not once did it rain throughout the whole time we were moving. And we were standing back outside. We'd just taken the last box in. And I said to Brian, right, it can rain now. I've finished. It rained. And I know that's a really silly analogy, but I was expectant that God will fulfill my will. That I didn't want to get all my stuff wet. I was moving house. It's really annoying if you're moving house and it rains. So I decided it wasn't going to. I declared it and used my authority in God, and it didn't. I was like, sweet. So try that one out if you want. It's about knowing the Father's heart. We can't just say, Lord, when I walk out of the church today, there's going to be a Lamborghini sitting outside for me. It's not going to be that. We need to know God's heart. We need to know what he's going to let us to do, because he is a parent to us. And as a parent, he's not just going to give us absolutely everything he wants. The same as a parent to our children, we don't give them sweets every single time they ask for them, because they're just going to get sick and then they're going to be poorly. So that's the same thing with God. If he just keeps giving us absolutely everything, we're going to get sick and poorly, and he doesn't want that. Actually, he's got foresight into what might happen with any situation that we cannot possibly have. And that's why sometimes we might be praying and we're not seeing an answer. Well, actually, maybe ask God from the other side of the question and say, well, what is meant to be happening in this situation? And he might tell you then, and then you're not getting frustrated. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, but we live by faith in what he has promised, not in what we see happening at the present. So that's linking back into that kind of when we're praying and we're moving forward and we're not experiencing anything. It doesn't actually matter. It doesn't matter what is happening in the present. It says there, it's by faith. So like we said, sometimes, boom, massive experience. Other times can feel like there's nobody there. But that's not a bad thing, because he's promised it. And it's not what we've seen. The Lord's really been working in me and transforming the way that I receive in him the last kind of few weeks, and so that's what I kind of thought I should be talking on. And to not become reliant on the feelings, but to know he's there. And that's the whole developing of being spiritual. And I've been setting aside time for him. Every morning, I've been getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to pray with God, which is something I haven't done for a very, very, very long time. But I felt it was right. And I thought, no, I need to be spending more time with God. I need to be drawing close to him. Because then I'm going to be experiencing more. And I have to say, the last couple of weeks have been the most loneliest times in my prayer meetings I've ever had. I've literally not felt anything. Not felt a God kind of nice to cuddle or a nice bit of presence come in the room. I've been reading my word, I've been praying, I've been putting the worship music on, and I'm just like, this isn't happening. But there's something inside me that stirs up every time that alarm goes off at 6 that I bother to get up. And I bother to still do it. So actually, there is something there. It says in James 4:7, as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So actually, this is me drawing near to him. And he's deciding when he's going to draw near to me. And I know it's going to happen because I have that faith. I know that he loves me. And actually, he's just retraining me to not be so reliant on having a nice tingly feeling. And actually, it doesn't matter that I go to pray and I don't feel anything. I know God still heard it. I know he's going to answer it. I need to have that expectance. Not that comfort, but that expectance. And if we're living in that, we're not going to have to stress every time we go to pray for someone and we're like, oh, but I've not got a tingly feeling. And actually, that's going to equip us so much more. Sometimes we rely so much on the physical and in the natural world what is happening in God's manifestation that we get panicky about what's happening in the spiritual. Or actually, we just need to forget the physical world and go, oh, I know that my Lord's here. I'm going to pray for you. Boom, yep, spiritual. Nothing might happen. They might not fall over. They might not feel God come on them. But you know, right, that's happened. God's done something in them. And that's it's a maturity. It's a spiritual growth thing, which I think God's been working in me the last week. So that's why I wanted to pass it on. And it's interesting because I say I don't feel like anything's happening. But I come downstairs at 7 o'clock and Elizabeth will be awake and she'll be having a third or second breakfast. She's such a hobbit. And Jem's actually remarked that I'm a lot less grumpy when I wake up. Because I've not just rolled out of bed. I'm not just like waking up and she's like, but actually I'm more useful, as she would say. I'll be happy to play with Elizabeth. I'll be happy to do things. And I've got a bit more life in me. And I'm like, well, actually, that's the change that's happening to me because I'm getting up early. So I'm getting less sleep, but I'm less grumpy than I would have been. How's that work? But it's because God's in it. It's a change that then lasts and affects me for the rest of the day. It's setting my day on the right foot. The last few weeks in work have been really stressful. There've been a lot. There's a lot of pressures. Obviously, Faith Camp's coming up. We've had the This Is Worship project on, which, for people that know nothing about music, to make that takes ridiculous amounts of time. All the graphics work for Faith Camp that I do takes a long time to prepare it, change it, modify it. And so it's been really busy the last couple of weeks. But I've not got really stressed once. I've been really laid back. And even though stuff's happening and coming in, I'm just like, yeah, cool, yeah, no, add that to the list, and done. It's a couple of times where it slips. But I think actually, if I hadn't have been in the place that I was in, getting up at 6, praying, starting my day on the right foot, I would have been far worse. And probably Richard and Rob would have been really annoyed with me by now, because I probably would have bitten their heads off a few hundred times. Right. Yep, that page is done. Let's turn over. Danny Silk says in one of his teaching from Bethel Church, California, don't let the bad character defects of others affect your mood. And it's a saying that I've held true for a long time since I ever heard it, because I do get affected by other people. If someone says something negative towards me, I get super defensive. I'm like, God, how dare you? And it kind of links on to that I'm super defensive about anyone who's negative about anything that I like or anyone that I care about. So if anyone attacks, I don't know, let's say Elizabeth for some reason, I don't know why you would, but if someone was negative towards Elizabeth, I'd be like there, teeth bearing, claws out, ready to rip your face off. And that teaching, when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, wow, don't let other people's bad bits affect you. You need to stay pure. You need to stay how you're going to be and not react to what they're doing, but respond to it. And I was applying that to this with God, and I was like, well, how does that work with God then? Because that's obviously to other people. And I said, well, God doesn't have any bad character defects, so surely I should let God affect my mood. So every morning when I'm getting up, I'm opening myself to God, and even if I don't hear anything, I'm exposing myself to his character, so then that affects me. And we should let it, because God's good and it helps us. Hebrews 11:6 says, by now you can see that it is impossible to please God without faith. In our relationship with him, we have to believe that he not only exists, but actually wants to answer us when we pray. He longs to give us what we need and when we seek him with sincere and earnest faith. So back to that, being like a parent. He wants to give us everything we want. He wants to answer everything we do when we pray. He wants to give us what we need. But we have to first seek him with sincerity and earnest faith. When we get the new students come in September, there's quite a lot of work we do with them every single year to kind of look at what they've been taught, how they operate, how they analyse. And one of the massive things with that is there's loads of them that believe he exists, but not lots of them that will actually believe that he's going to answer when they pray. And we do this funny thing that they all find really weird, but we do lots of prayer workshops and teaching them how to pray. And I actually ban words. I say, right, when you're praying out in English, you're not allowed to use the word just. You're not allowed to use the word could. You're not allowed to use the word if you're not too busy. But that kind of like, that lap-pamby prayer you get where, oh Lord, just could you just, if possibly just, maybe possibly just. And it's like, guys, what are you doing? He's not some strict, hard master that you're begging for him to do it. You're saying to God, Lord, I need this to happen in my life.
Yeah, no.
Can you do it?
Yeah,
or not even can you do it, it's do it. Like, have that authority. Like with the rain. I didn't say, oh Lord, please don't let it rain. I said, no, it's not going to rain. I didn't even pray. I just spoke it out in faith with the expectancy that it was going to happen. We're expectant. Expectations change as they got to know his promises and actually believed them. So as they believed that God existed, but they weren't quite there believing that he actually did do stuff. And that's where their levels changed. And then we start to see them doing amazing things. That's spiritual maturity. How are we growing? How are we drawing closer to him? Are we being expectant? What are we sacrificing so that we can do that? There's no gain with God unless there's a loss. And the loss is always something close to us. So for me, it's sleep. I have to get up. I love sleeping, but I have to get up and pray with God. That's my sacrifice every morning. I'm getting up early, even if I've been out late. I'm getting up early, right? Got to pray with God. Got to meet with God. And that's another time for another Elizabeth analogy, because I love Elizabeth. Elizabeth screams and she shouts and she's begging and groaning about what she wants. And she's not quite got the words yet, so she'll be pointing at things and going, and like speaking all gobbledygook. I reckon most of her language is probably Boo from Monsters, Inc., if anyone's seen that. Because Boo can't really talk, but she makes lots of gargly sounds. I think Elizabeth has watched that far too many times, and that is her now her language. Because every time she sees the big blue thing, which I've forgotten its name, Sully, yeah, it says Kitty is what Boo calls, and Elizabeth nearly always, when she sees that, goes, Kitty, Kitty. So, yeah, that's where her language is from. So I need to find a film that she likes that's actually got proper English in it, and then we might actually get some words. But yeah, she's screaming out. She's but actually, I can't just give her whatever she wants. I've got to teach her to serve. Because actually, as we do the chores, we receive the gift. Like there's got to be that sacrifice of doing something. So one of the things we get Elizabeth to help us with all the time is unloading the dishwasher, funnily enough. Because it's perfect. It's right at her height. She gets down, she picks up a bowl, and she just passes it to you. She's not carrying it the length of the kitchen or anything, so it's not danger that she's going to hurt herself or smash the glass. Or it's literally just pick it up and hand it to you. And we've not broken anything yet, so it seems to be happening. But then we can kind of treat her. We can give her a fourth breakfast. Or you're kidding. I think we got up to six once. And God says, the most of all is the servant of all. That's in Mark 9:35. That actually there's got to be that person that wants to serve deep down in their heart to get the most out of it. If we're not doing any output, we're not going to get any input. The Lord says that he will give us the measure that we use. So if we're not using it, he's not going to give us any more. And actually, if we say, this is what God's given us, and we use this much, God's then going to impart that much into us. Because he gives us the measure that we use. Why is he going to give you this massive wasted section? Because you're not using it. Well, actually, if God gives you this much and you do this much, the next time he's going to infill you, he's going to give you that much. Because that's the measure that you used. So then that's your new norm, as I always say with the guys. Whenever we experience something, whenever we do something, that becomes our new normal. So we don't need to strive to get to that point again. It's normal. So the first time they've ever prayed out loud, I'm like, right, that's your normal. You don't need to stress about praying out loud anymore. You've done it. So if that's now our measure that we've used, we can then push that again. Because that actually, the scary bit is this tiny little bit here now. This bit's easy. We've done this bit before, so we just do that. So, doof, we stretch it. Next time God infills us, he imparts us with that much. Because that's the measure that we used. So, all the way up to here, easy peasy. Let's just really push and get a bit more. Next time God infills us, doosh. We're now filled with this. And I can't stretch any further, so I can't do any more. But that was something that was really key to me. And I was like, wow, that's all by faith and by the love that I have for God that he gives me that. And it doesn't matter that when I'm getting up at 6 o'clock and I'm going into the study and I'm sitting down and I'm reading, I'm praying. It doesn't matter if I'm not receiving anything. Or should I say, it doesn't matter that I don't feel like I'm receiving anything. We just need to have that expectance that we are. that God is imparting into us. And that's the end.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.